The second evangelist, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, wrote the shortest gospel, and he begins his gospel with the words spoken by Jesus, the very first words he spoke at the preaching of the good news. He said, "Repent and believe." The last words spoken by Christ were, "Go, go and teach." The good news, or in the Greek, evangelion, are the tellings about God and our salvation. And the first word he said was repent, which in Greek, koine Greek, because that's the language of the New Testament, means metanoia. I put the word in the bulletin. Noia means knowledge, meta means change. The word simply means change your thinking, change your direction, reassess your GPS, your spiritual GPS, so that you're focused and facing God. And then once you've turned your direction towards God, assimilate, take on board the truths regarding salvation. But notice you have to change your direction first. You must repent from the things that take you away from God, turn towards God, and then you learn about God. And we learn about God more so from other people, hearing and then watching. Some people read their way into the Catholic faith, but most converts are caught rather than taught. And they're caught by insights, like Augustine received the insights spoken by the great Bishop Ambrose, or they are inspired by the goodness of others, such as Malcolm Muggeridge, who was inspired by Mother Teresa. But in both cases, the repent and then believe of the gospel requires people, individuals, to proclaim that gospel. You can't hear what you haven't heard, and therefore preachers are needed, or rather, the proper word is prophets. The word prophet in Hebrew is nabai, which means teacher. It doesn't mean someone who's telling or foretelling the future. Often we hear about prophecy or prophets and we think, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. That's a mistaken notion. A prophet is simply a teacher, teaching not what he thinks, but what God proclaims. And there's been many prophets down through the ages teaching on behalf of God. And with Australia Day looming tomorrow, it's good to think about who came here to preach and teach and what effect they had on this country. I often think about Father Victor Riccio, who in 1676, a Dominican priest in the Philippines, wanted to come to this country to preach, to call people to repent and believe in the gospel. As did Mark, so too Father Victor did. He knew about Australia. It was the fifth part of the world, they called it back then. 1676. Seems like a long time ago. But in the history of the world, it's only a blink. Of course, we know what happened. We have snail mail today. They had ship mail back then. And obviously, like slug mail. It took years for his letter, his application to be a missionary to Australia to arrive in Rome. And Rome, unusually, dispatched the reply rather speedily. But by the time the letter got back to him, by going from one ship to another ship to another ship, he eventually had died. And perhaps he thought, well, I'm not called to be the prophet, the teacher sent to Australia. Obviously, Providence did not will it to happen, otherwise it would have. Much of what happens in our faith doesn't depend on chance or luck. It's destiny willed by God. And of course, the English then came and settled this country, and the faith came to us largely through the Irish at the outset. And now our Catholic Church is very cosmopolitan. But in 1676, when Father Ritchie was writing that letter in Latin and drawing up the first map of Australia scene, and he gained much of his insight from the Dutch explorers who had told him that he could travel into this vast continent for 2 years and not get to the other side. That means they probably travelled back for 2 years. That's 4 years wandering around Western Australia in the desert. That's no small feat for anybody. Wandering around for 4 months without a map would be difficult. 4 years would be most arduous. So he had spoken to people, checked them out, he knew his story. And as he was penning that story, and I've seen the original in Rome, 50 years earlier, a missionary had passed away in France. He was Francis We had Francis de Sales, a great doctor of the church and bishop of Geneva, and he had spent much of his life evangelizing, being a prophet, teaching. Once the baton is given by Christ to Mark, he gave it to another and to another and to another, down through the generations that desire to help others come to know the fullness of love, truth and beauty that comes to us from God. Whether it's a Francis de Sales teaching the French in Europe or a Father Victor in the Philippines wanting to inspire people to come here, we are all called in our own way, largely through our families and then outside of our families, to be prophets, teachers, to inspire others. One reluctant teacher or prophet was Jonah, and that's the first reading for this weekend. Now, Jonah didn't want to do what God had called him to do, but simply be a prophet, a teacher. The Ninevites, a couple of 100,000 of them, were going to perish, and God wanted them to know the fullness of truth, or rather the truth that then revelation willed for them to know. And Jonah was chosen, but he didn't want to go. As we know, the story tells us he hopped on the ship going exactly, diametrically, in the opposite way. So God had to have him thrown off the ship. He's swallowed by a whale. 3 days later, symbolic of the tomb which Christ rose from, he survived and was landed on the shores near Nineveh. By the way, there are people who have been swallowed by whales for a period of time and then spat out and somehow escaped and survived. Interesting, isn't it? One wonders what their thought pattern was inside the belly of a whale. I wonder what Jonah thought inside the belly of a whale. Why me? It's not my fault. What did I do wrong? Anyway, he eventually landed there thinking, well, perhaps I'm meant to be on this place teaching and preaching about God. So he reluctantly, just as quickly as possible, walked through the whole area in 3 days and then sat on a hill waiting for God to nuke them, wipe them out like Sodom and Gomorrah. And with each passing day, he was looking forward to them. We don't want these people around after all. They're not Jews. They're not like us. Why does God want us to preach to them? And in the end, they were saved. He thought, oh, God, why did you keep them alive? Jonah would eventually be taught a very hard lesson. And the lesson is applicable to us today. Sometimes we too are like Jonah. We're reluctant to open our mouth with regards to God, morals, faith, death, suffering, sin, and eternity. They're really the key issues of life. And sometimes we just don't want to talk about them. We'll talk about the tennis, the cricket, the weather, work, anything, the garden, to avoid the hard nuts and bolts of our existence. And yet we ought to address them sometimes with family and friends. And how we do it and when we do it is the art. Jonah was very reluctant, but notice this. Although he was reluctant, the message got through. Although sometimes we're reluctant to open our mouth and say something, or just ask a question, or perhaps raise an issue, don't be afraid. It's not you doing it, but God doing it through you. Let go and let God in your life. In other words, just roll the dice. Sow the seed. You might think, nothing can come from this. You're not doing the growing. You're not doing the rolling. God is. It's his work, not ours. And as Jonah was so heartlessly reluctant to do what he did, but did it in the most feeble and pathetic manner, God still worked his grace through him. So too, although at times we kind of say the wrong thing, we put our foot in the middle of it, I shouldn't have said that, and I was too hard coming on here. Don't worry. Just do what you can. And as long as you preach the truth with charity, in other words, you let them know that you don't dislike them or are angry with them, but rather you want them to go with you to heaven, then it all will be okay. It's when we bring our bitterness and resentment and hatred into what we're discussing regarding God or morals or the big issues, then it rubs the wrong way. But if people see within us a desire for what is best for them, with regards to their eternity, then although they might not like the initial message, they tend to buy it deep down. And God's grace, slowly, like the wheels, will generate a conversion. So let us not be too reluctant, but rather willful. As Victor Riccio wrote that letter in the Philippines wanting to come here, and as Francis de Sales did his bit, and Thomas Aquinas did his bit, we all have a part to play in other people's destiny. As fellow Australians, we're becoming more and more apathetic towards their God and religion with each passing year, we have a part to play in their destiny. So on Australia Day tomorrow, be faithful Christian Australians and perhaps raise an issue as regards mortality, suffering, God's existence. Do what we can. And although we might be, like Jonah at times, trusting God, let go and let God touch their lives. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.